Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your loving and your dirt of loving, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie. Cause that'll be the day when I die.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Buddy Holly. I never get tired of Buddy Holly. One of the greats. Gosh, it's been a long time since that plane crash. 1959, February. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy. And by the way, the guy that usually comes up with all this great music, Big Ed Davis. You know, he was a former disc jockey, played all kinds of music.
I also love the Buddy Holly movie.
Yes.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey nailed that guy. I think that's what probably brought Gary Busey to fame, was that movie. It was a great movie, you're right. Anyway, thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, June the 8th already. And in a few minutes, Dr. Joel Zinberg is going to be with us. He's from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we are going to talk about the return to post-pandemic normalcy. Seems like we're back on the road towards that. And how the slowdown in virus shots right now is not necessarily a cause for alarm. You hear a lot about people that have decided, you know what? We got this herd virus thing going on. I don't need to get the shot. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with Dr. Zinberg. Stay tuned for it. And while Vice President Kamala Harris is in Guatemala, former President Barack Obama, he's back in the news. He is attacking right-wing media. We're going to tell you what he said, and we're going to get some thoughts on it and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, Master Barber Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And what is going on with our neighbors to the north right now on the virus response? Does it seem like they're still in lockdown to you? Well, we're going to take a look. We're going to take an updated look on Canada and what is going on up there. And in our ultimate top 10, remember yesterday, the top 10 states with the highest vaccination rates, remember that? We're going to give you the top 10 states with the lowest vaccination rate. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For my money, Andrew's Master Barbershop is the best place a man can go to get a haircut. You got great barbers there, along with Andrew himself. It's very convenient for those of you in Pinellas County. It's right west of Highway US 19. It's just off of Main Street 580 in downtown Dunedin on Overcash Drive. Just call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. Don't forget Good Morning America. Good Morning America. How many times do I say that? Good Morning Clearwater. Good Morning Clearwater. There she goes, by the way. Miss 25th anniversary herself, Tracy Allen. They celebrate. I think today is their 25th, and we salute them. But listen to their show Monday through Friday, Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, Vice President Kamala Harris, did she actually take a question from somebody today? After all these days of not taking any, well, she had to go to Guatemala. She is on her worldwide fact-finding tour to figure out how to deal with the border crisis between Mexico and the United States. She told potential migrants yesterday they should not travel to the United States, that they should stay home. She said they would be turned back if they did. Of course, what she says and what they are really doing are two different things, right? This is what is called posturing. Posturing. You stand up and you say one thing knowing perfectly well that people are doing another. And you are allowing it. She says this, I want to emphasize that the goal of our work is to help Guatemalans find hope at home. At the same time, I want to be clear to folks who are thinking about making the trek, do not come. And then she repeated that, do not come. So I will give her credit for at least lip service. However, why on the way to Guatemala, why in the hell can she not stop at the border? Does she not realize that people are laughing at her for not going to the border? Does she not realize that people are not that stupid? Does she not realize that she should go down there, if for no other reason, to show that she's not afraid to confront the crisis?
You gave her credit for lip service?
Yes.
I gave her credit for getting on the plane.
Yes. Hey, did you hear there was an issue with the plane?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it was.
Landing gear would not retract properly.
Okay. Well, couldn't she have climbed outside and worked on it herself? So anyway, there she is in Guatemala. And they're going to look at root causes. You know how long they've been looking at root causes in Central America for why people come here?
Yeah.
They've been looking at root causes forever, it seems like.
She's going down there with a bag of money and telling those people in the triangle, we're going to rebuild your place. That's been done before, and
exactly.
All the money went to the...
It went
to the politicians that are corrupt.
And if we know it, Kamala knows it. Yeah. Biden knows it. Everybody in his administration knows it. This is posturing.
Yeah.
This is lip service. And everybody is winking and nodding,
Couldn't we have taken that $310 million and built some temporary plugs for where the wall is missing some spots?
With the money that we are spending on
border security?
With the money that we are spending on things like this, we could have a golden wall, you know? I mean, we have an impenetrable wall. Maybe we could just go over to Israel. You know, they've got one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Israel has a wall, and it's what helps protect them from a lot of people coming in and doing bad things. I don't know all of the details, but I understand that it is very effective. When they do things there, they mean business, because they really are in danger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They really are in danger. So, anyway, so this is what's going on with Kamala Harris. She won't go to the border. It says here, while Harris and the administration have emphasized root causes in Central America, like poverty, then they go to climate. Climate has nothing to do with it. Central America has always been hot. Not been much hotter right now than it's ever been. So, this climate thing is baloney. Poverty they've had forever in many of these places. That's an ongoing issue. She is not going to change it. In the meantime, did you know that the head of Guatemala said Biden's responsible for people coming up to the border and going through? The messages were a little bit mixed between.
I'm sure they muted that part.
I know. All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to find out from a good doctor, a very intelligent doctor, how things are going right now. A little bit of an update as we try to return to a post-pandemic normalcy. Also, how the slowdown in virus shots is not necessarily a bad thing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Are you looking for a job? Join me, Gene Hodge, on the Employment Opportunity Hour, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., where I will tell you and share with you, as well as answer all of your questions and help you find enjoyable employment instead of a job. This is the only talk show that talks about everyone who makes up our workforce. Join me on the Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Employment Opportunity Hour.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for joining us this Tuesday, and we're delighted to have back Dr. Joel Zinberg, who is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he spent 2 years as general counsel and senior economist at the Council of Economic Advisors. He has penned a piece recently in the Wall Street Journal, Vaccine Slowdown is Not Cause for Alarm. Joel, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. We always learn something from you when you come on the show. And in your article, you talk about how quickly we've got these vaccines out, vaccinated half of our population within about a year and a half. But you said also, very interestingly, about one-fifth, 20% of people that have not gotten the shot in a recent poll say they won't get the shot, or they'll only do it if they have to. I'm wondering if people, is there a bravado going on with certain people going, well, you know, I haven't gotten the virus, and so maybe, you know, it's not as bad as people say.
Well, look, you have to understand that when people make a decision for any health condition, and COVID is not an exception, they're balancing risks and benefits, they're responding to various incentives, and in this instance, they're deciding for themselves, what do I think the risk of getting an infection is versus what is the risk of getting the vaccine? And they have made it, they have made a calculation, for some of them at least, that they think that getting COVID, which for younger people is basically the major risk, is kind of the risk of getting a bad case of the flu, that they're willing to take that risk versus the risk of getting a vaccine for which there are known and perhaps potentially unknown complications.
Joel, I got to ask you, now that I've got a great doctor like you to ask this, why is it that younger people don't get the virus, especially kids? What is it? Is there something in the virus that just can't, when it knocks on the door of a young person's system, they won't let it in?
Well, I don't know that anyone knows 100% the reasons, but the important thing is that this has been known for a very long time. I mean, I was writing back in the spring of 2020, as were others, that there was substantial evidence from China and from Italy and from and other places around the world that younger people did not seem to come down with COVID-19 as often as adults, and they didn't get as sick. So that's been true for the entire time, and a number of us have been arguing that, you know, you don't need to shut down the entire economy. You can try to protect the people who are most vulnerable, and we've known that since the spring, that those are the elderly and people with underlying medical conditions. And that's why you have a situation where people over 65 and older account for 80% of the deaths from COVID, whereas people under 17 account for 0.1%.
Yeah, I mean, it's
1/10%. So, when if you're a 15-year-old, you're probably thinking, gee, you know, or your parents are thinking, maybe my 15-year-old doesn't need to get vaccinated. It doesn't seem to hold much risk for them.
No.
And, that's expected. You expect people are going to make those sorts of calculations. And my argument is, number one, it's expected, and number two, it may not be as bad as we think, particularly since we have vaccinated so many people in this country already. We also have a reservoir of people who have natural immunity from having had COVID and recovered, so that you're really pretty close to the herd immunity figure of about 70-75% of the population has immunity, whether from vaccines or from natural immunity.
So would that mean, Joel, that if you have not gotten the vaccine yet, you've been okay, you're not, let's say, in a nursing home, let's say your health is good, could you avoid getting this shot? Do you think maybe we'll be able to get through this without getting the shot?
No, I think people need to consult with their physicians because everyone's health condition is different. You know, someone can be 25 years old but have some underlying medical problems that would make them vulnerable to COVID. Those are people who ought to be getting a vaccine. Someone who's completely healthy and 20 years old may get much less benefit from it. So that's something they need to be speaking to their physicians about and then making a considered judgment.
We're talking with Dr. Joel Zinberg. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and has penned a piece, "Vaccine Slowdown is Not a Cause for Alarm." We did mention, and he mentions, about 20% of those that have not gotten the shot in a Kaiser Family Foundation poll say they will not get the shot unless they're forced to do it. I guess if you have to go somewhere where it is required that you prove that you have a shot, then maybe that would force some of these people to do it. But I want to go back to this false bravado thing. I think a lot of people are feeling like, I'm not going to get the shot. I mean, I'm not going to get the virus. You know, I'm not going to get it. Somehow, I think my system is okay. I mean, I think there are a lot of people going around thinking that. And they see people now are able to go into grocery stores here in Florida, at least, without wearing a mask anymore. And it just kind of strengthens that bravado. I wonder if it's a false bravado.
Well, I think it is a false bravado in the sense that there's not, you know, you remain susceptible if you have not had COVID before and if you have not gotten the vaccine. Now, at the moment, because there are so many people who are surrounding you who are probably immune, your risk of contracting COVID has probably gone down, but it's certainly not extinguished. So, you know, people really ought to consider getting the vaccine. It's a good vaccine. It's extremely effective, much more effective than your usual flu vaccine. And you know, it seems to work very well, and it seems to have pretty minimal side effects.
Yeah.
So it's something people ought to really strongly consider. And I would urge your listeners to do so. But if they have any doubts about it, let them speak to their physicians, and they can then make a more informed judgment about the risks and benefits.
Do you think this is going to be an ongoing virus like the flu, or is it going to be something like when we got rid of polio, basically? Not that we totally ever got rid of polio, but you rarely hear about it. Are we going to be
No one really knows for sure on that score. I mean, as you are alluding to, we have the flu, which is the influenza virus, that comes back year after year because there's slight changes in the virus that require us to make new shots every year and to keep people from getting infected. Whether that will be the case for COVID-19, no one really knows yet. Thus far, there have been variants, but the variants have not been that tremendous that the existing vaccines are ineffective. That may change in the future, but, you know, time will tell.
We're talking again with Dr. Joel Zinberg from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Here's another one I've heard, Joel. Well, the virus really isn't the reason people are dying. It might be it might weaken the system a little bit, but people are really dying from something else. And the virus is just maybe a factor, but it may not be the main factor. How do you answer that?
Look, the virus is the cause of death. It seems to be most severe in people who are susceptible to it in the sense they have other conditions or they're elderly and therefore they're less able to deal with the effects of the virus. But make no mistake, it's the virus that and the body's reaction to the virus that is what's killing people.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you said in your Wall Street Journal piece, kind of interesting, demand for vaccination is waning as the risk of the virus decreases. By early April, CEI your organization found the level of vaccine immunity, 19% fully immunized, 32% receiving at least one of the shots, plus a likely 200 million with natural immunity from, I guess, getting the virus. So if you get the virus, and I know some people that have, and they're perfectly fine, they never, you know, other than maybe minor symptoms, are they okay, or do they need to get the shot?
Well, again, time it will tell just whether the immunity that one gets from a natural infection and recovery lasts in the same way that we'll see whether the immunity one gets from a vaccine lasts. But at the moment, it seems pretty clear that in both cases, the natural and the vaccine immunity, it lasts at least some 6 months to a year. So, you know, we have a pretty good idea that those folks are immune for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And the 200 million figure comes from the fact that we have about a little more than 33 million confirmed cases. But everyone knows that the confirmed cases, the ones that have been confirmed by a blood test, are probably just the tip of the iceberg. There are many more people who were either asymptomatic or had very mild cases and never bothered to get tested. And the CDC and other organizations have indicated it could be as many as eight times the number of confirmed cases.
Holy Toledo.
That's where I came up with the 200 million okay. or so people.
Wow. How are other countries doing, Dr. Zinberg? In other words, you know, we like to think we're doing a pretty good job. We got the virus up and run, the vaccines up and running fairly quickly. Can you point to any other countries that are doing a real good job with the situation that you can see?
Well, the country that's clearly done the best is Israel.
Israel?
Yeah. Israel has vaccinated nearly its entire population. It was way out ahead of everyone else on that score. And it's also served as a laboratory for Pfizer to see how well its vaccine is working. So many of the results we know from how well people respond, what are the side effects, how long does immunity last, are coming out of studies done in Israel. So Israel has really done the best in terms of that. But, you know, if you listen to certain media outlets, you would think the United States was doing terribly. But in
yes.
fact, the United States has done quite well. It's done better than some other major developed countries like Spain. And here I'm talking about mortality per capita. It's done better than major countries like Spain and Italy. It's roughly in the same range as places like the United Kingdom and France. So, you know, we're not doing so badly.
You wrote this article in the Wall Street Journal. I just want you to know I'm seeing a chyron here on one of the news channels. It says in their op-ed, science backs the lab leak as the COVID origin. I know you don't want to get political with this, but it would seem to me that if it looks, walks, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And if it came out of Wuhan and they've got the virus lab there, that's where it came from.
Well, look, I wrote a piece on this back on May 27th in City Journal talking about exactly this issue that is called Following the Politics, Not the Science, how scientists and journalists dismissed the lab leak hypothesis for the past year, not because it was good science, but for a variety of reasons, mostly political and ideological. And it's particularly disturbing that journalists who we rely on to look into matters and try to unearth the truth and be skeptical were remarkably incurious. And anything or anyone who suggested that there might have been a leak from the laboratory in Wuhan, whether intended or unintended, was dismissed as a quack, was dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, whereas in fact what we now know, and have known really for quite a while, there are a number of indicators that this could have been a leak from the laboratory in Wuhan. Even some of the people who wrote these scientific articles back in the spring and of 2020, dismissing the lab leak hypothesis and saying this was a natural jump from other animals to humans, those are people who, now that we have the emails, that they were writing to Fauci were suggesting that, gee, maybe this could have been a lab.
Exactly. Exactly. Why can't somebody, why can't we be honest? It's in our best interests to be totally honest about this. I for the life of me, it is such an important thing to find out. Dr. Zinberg, it's always great to have you with us. Thank you so very much for coming on again.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
All right, sir. Joel Zinberg, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Vice President Kamala Harris, she's in Guatemala. Barack Obama attacking right-wing media. We're going to get some ideas. We're going to get some thoughts, opinions from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We are here on the great Tan Talk Radio Network, but we are also on podcast because Big Ed puts all our shows there. You can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com. And there's the podcast button, and away you go. Well, Barack Obama, you know, former presidents, it's not just Trump that's coming out and talking these days. Former President Obama, and he says certain right-wing media venues are stoking fear and resentment among white Americans towards the increasingly diverse population of our country. He cited the moment, for instance, when remember when that Cambridge police officer arrested a black university professor that was trying to enter his house and couldn't get in? The door was locked and all that. Anyway, the tumult that took place after that, and we talked for a while. You know, it was part of the news consciousness for a while. Then he went on. Obama went on to slam conservative media for capitalizing on what he called fear of white people towards changing demographics in the U.S. He says there are certain right-wing media venues that monetize and capitalize on stoking the fear and resentment of white people. He goes on and on. By the way, did he ever finish a sentence? That guy could talk and talk and talk, and it would be one sentence. I'm trying to abbreviate this. And demographic changes and doing everything they can to give people a sense that their way of life is threatened and that people are trying to take advantage of them. This guy's been stoking this kind of black-white stuff for, all 4 years, 8 years of his presidency. Anyway, Andrew, are you falling asleep like Ed is? I want you to make a comment.
Let me tell you what.
What?
First of all, you know why Barack Obama's opening his mouth right now?
Why?
You got Biden out of the country, and you got the vice president out of the country. How often does that happen?
He's taking over the...
He took over.
He's taking over until they come back. I never thought of that.
How often do a vice president and a president leave the country at the same time?
And it's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know about that, because look what we got behind him.
Well, I know, but I mean that they got out.
Opening his freaking mouth, causing more racist baloney.
Yeah.
That guy needs to shut up and go back where the hell he came from.
Speaking of Kamala Harris, there she is in Guatemala. And apparently, while she's telling everybody, you know, you can't come into our country, stay home, the president of Guatemala at the same time is saying that Biden is encouraging people to leave his country to go up north.
It's bait and switch, Paul. Say one thing, do another.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's kind of awkward, isn't it? While she's saying one thing, he's saying another.
They're giving him $361 million to stay home. What do they think? That's going to work? Those people are never going to see that money.
That's right. They're not.
Okay, that's in a Swiss bank account right now from the Guatemala government. Their mansion.
You're
What's
right.
wrong with these people? This administration is so freaking stupid, it's unbelievable, Paul.
Yeah.
But you know what? This country can't last another 4 years with this crap, another 3 years. It ain't going to happen. We'll be totally destroyed. And what I was talking about before with Trump running for Congress,
yes,
you know,
yes.
The little bits and pieces coming out about this. Little history question for you.
Okay.
Was there ever a president that served one term and ran for Congress and won?
Yes.
There was. Okay.
There was.
There was.
I'm trying to remember. It was either Howard Taft or Grover Cleveland.
John Quincy Adams.
See, I was close.
John Quincy Adams, my friend.
So the son of John Adams.
That's right.
Okay, fair enough.
That's right. So here we are. The country's getting destroyed. You guys are talking about the shots this morning and the virus. Let me ask you a question. How many people died of cancer so far this week?
A lot.
Oh, we don't hear nothing about that.
We're used to it.
I want to know. Warp speed, we got a vaccine, and we're doing so good. Well, how come they can't come up with a vaccine for cancer, buddy?
You know, I've always wondered, we have thrown more money towards finding a cure for cancer. Now, cancer is many different, as you know, many different situations.
That's right, Paul. Just like the viruses, there's many different flus.
Yes.
One more deadly than the other.
True.
It's the same crap, but you know what? They're making billions of dollars on the COVID vaccine, and they're making trillions of dollars with people dying of cancer.
Do you think that there is an ongoing effort to subvert finding a cure for cancer?
Of course. It's money-making business. What else is going to make money in this country? The industry's all gone. Biden giving that all away. What else is there to make money? What produces revenue in this country, Paul? Something's got to produce revenue.
Okay, let's just, with that scenario, let's say that I discover a cure for cancer. It turns out that there's a simple cure.
They'll shoot you.
Okay. Now, would I not want to make money on that if I was, let's say, a pharmaceutical company that had the person that discovered it? Would I not want to? You know how much money I would make?
Let me ask you a question. When the COVID's gone, are they going to make any more money off of the shot? No, it stops.
Well, but here's the deal.
Like you guys were talking about polio. You're right. We did get rid of polio
when
I was a kid. But you know what? It's coming back because of the people they're letting in this country.
There is a little bit of polio that has returned. You're right about that. We never completely eliminated polio. I don't think probably you ever completely eliminate anything like
that. No, but you can control it just like they can control cancer, Paul.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. The biggest disease going on in this country right now is racism, and the biggest cause of it is Obama.
Ah. You'd think it's like reverse racism? Are you talking about like black people or non-white people?
You know, the blacks are more racist than the whites. Whites could care less right now. But you know what? The blacks are keeping up what they're doing. They're making the whites racist again. This is what they want to happen. Keep the people divided.
That's one thing about Obama and liberals. They want to keep this division rhetoric going. They're not happy unless you are finding a reason for white and black people to dislike each other. And it gets real tiring. And the answer to me is simple. Do not group people. Do not group people. Look at them as an individual. And for God's sake, all that stuff goes away.
they group everything. Oh, you're an LGBT. You're a this.
Right.
You're a that.
Exactly.
On.
Exactly.
You know, be American and shut up.
That's true. Now, I want to, and by the way, we're talking to, as you can see, a very energized master barber, Andrew Ceresi. I want to talk to you about, I think this is really good news. They found a way to get back some of that money that hacking group got from the Colonial Pipeline hack. Did you read about that?
I heard bits and pieces, but I'm not too up on it.
Well, let me tell you.
I heard they got something back.
Listen to this. The Department of Justice says that investigators were able to recover most of the ransom paid to the hackers who interrupted the Colonial Pipeline. You know, the Colonial Pipeline delivers a huge percentage of oil and gas on the East Coast. You know that. And
I know that. And I also know that thing had manual overrides, too.
Well, we talked about that, but think about this. It wasn't just turning off the valves. It was disrupting their entire system. Think about it. If your computer was shut down and you rely on transmission of all kinds of information back and forth to your truckers, to this, to that, and your whole system is shut down, what are you going to do? It's not just the valve.
Huh? You got to have a backup system.
Well,
you got to have a backup system to communicate. Supposing all the power is off, and you can't transmit on your your radio or whatever, your cell phones, don't they still use shortwave radio?
Well, they certainly, as you say, they certainly were not prepared. And maybe in the long run, this will make it more of a, everybody will be a little bit more prepared. But I guess my point, and I wanted to get your thought, the Department of Justice figured out a way to find these people and suck the money back. Or maybe not find them, but suck the money back out of their account.
No, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
First of all, they never should have gave it to them.
Well, that's another point.
Then they left them open to go do it with more people. Look at the meatpacking company last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're just leaving it open to do. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan says we will not pay ransom to nobody?
Yeah.
Okay, he was right. We shouldn't have paid ransom. We should have hunted these people down and blow their brains off.
Yeah.
That's what should have happened.
I know, but sometimes when you've got a human life and their life is on the line, you have to be very careful. You know, in saying, "Well, we're not gonna negotiate." What if it was your son or daughter? You'd feel probably a little differently, wouldn't you? It's an interesting scenario. I don't know.
It's an interesting scenario, Paul. You're right. I might think differently. I don't know, but I could tell you what, I would definitely get vengeance.
And by the way, that's the other thing. Do you believe that these people that would come and shut down our grids, shut down our pipelines, shut down all kinds of our banking system, perhaps, if they could do it? What about contracting mercenaries to find these people, literally find them, and kill them?
That's right.
I'm not against that idea.
And you know what?
I'm not against that idea.
They put their mind to it, Paul. They could find anything they want out of anybody.
Because I would say,
look at what they try to find out about Trump all the time.
I would say when you try to compromise somebody's grid system or their pipeline, that's a direct attack on the United States. And if I was the president, I would say, if you do this, we will consider it as being a direct attack on our country, and we will respond. And that'll be a warning to countries like Russia and any of these other countries that are allowing this.
You're talking about the administration we got in there right now. They're going to send them a 12-pack of ice cream.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
You're right.
Okay? This guy isn't going to do nothing. This administration's got one-track mind. Destroy this country, bring it down to a third-world country. We want control.
Hey, by the way,
look at Ilhan Omar yesterday. What a disgusting woman she is, saying the Americans and the Israelis are no better than the Hamas or anybody else. This is a terrorist country. This woman ought to be hogtied and shipped back where the hell she came from. She doesn't belong in our government.
She's a naive. She's like Ocasio-Cortez. You know what? They get in there not because of any experience or knowledge that they have. None. I mean, these people don't deserve to be within a country mile of Washington, D.C.
And they're not even American, Paul.
Well,
I'm of Italian descent, but I tell you what, I'm American before I ever even think of where my ancestors came from.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing their crap. You don't like it here, you go back where the hell you came from. but you do not belong in our government.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel that way, Andrew, that is for sure. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. Hey, I'm coming by. I want you to give me a nice haircut.
You got it, buddy. Right. We'll be here all day.
All right, my friend. Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There he goes! Boy, do you think, Ed, that... is Andrew getting feistier in his old age? Ed's nodding. We love him, though, don't we? Ed's nodding. All right. Let us take our final break. Ed's nodding off sometimes. No, I'm just kidding you, Ed. I'm just kidding you. All right. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, what's going on with Canada and their virus response? We're going to take an updated look. So stay tuned for that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we again thank you so very much for being with us. Well, before we get to the Canadian thing, did you know that a bunch of senators have released a report on that Capitol attack? A bipartisan group today released its report on the Capitol riot of January the 6th, and they offered recommendations to help prevent a similar breach in the future. The Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee and the Senate Rules Committee said the investigation 2 days after the riot broke out, or I should say they announced they would investigate it. They have several hearings. Let's see here. So the report, which, by the way, was compiled by Democratic Senator Gary Peters, Amy Klobuchar, and Republicans Rob Portman and Roy Blunt, they found breakdowns at nearly every step of the way, from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security failing to raise the adequate alarm about the threat of violence, to the lack of preparation by Capitol Police and other agencies. You know, they talk about how terrible that was. Two people died, but one died of a stroke. That was the policeman. The other one was a conservative woman that was shot, apparently shot by a Capitol policeman. But you never hear much about that. Why did the policeman shoot her? What did she do to provoke a shot that killed her? I don't know. You never hear much about it. I think the media has avoided looking at that. I wonder, wouldn't they want to look at it in this group study if they wanted to analyze this thing? But anyway, we'll see. I think the left-wing media, they call it an insurrection. An insurrection, as if a large part of the country... It's sort of like the, in our history, the Bastille, the, you know, the French Revolution, right? I don't think so. It was a bunch of nutty people that went through there. They wandered around. They looked kind of stupid wandering around. I don't think they were out to hurt anybody. It was bad. It was a violation, no question about it. But an insurrection, I'm not so sure. Okay, now, Canada, where I was born. What's going on with Canada? Are they still in a lockdown mode? Well, the answer is basically they are. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is now preparing to ease restrictions for people that want to travel to Canada. They're making plans to loosen the 14-day isolation deal. Would you go to a country, Ed, if you had to wait 2 weeks in isolation after you got there? I don't think so. No, unless you had to, or you were going back home. Anyway, so they're making plans to loosen the isolation period. Travelers would still be tested and may be required to quarantine for a shorter period of time. At the same time, Canada is eyeing June 22nd as the day to start loosening restrictions at the U.S. border. They have signaled it could start easing restrictions on June 22nd if the country's vaccination campaign stays on its current trajectory. Now, they've been a lot more, what do you want to call it, closed off than, for instance, Florida. And we seem to be doing better than they are. I don't know. It's very, very interesting. You know? It's very interesting how all of that works. All right. Before we get to our top 10, which, by the way, is a good one, top 10 states with the lowest percentage of people vaccinated, I have to talk to Ed about the our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, who are playing again tonight. I believe they're playing back. I think we're back in Carolina.
Yep.
And we are up 3-1, Ed. Mm-hmm. We're very confident. Do you think we can close it out?
I'm not so sure about this game. It would be nice. I think realistically it comes back here for the...
Game 6.
Yeah, and that'd be Thursday night.
It would be Thursday night. So you'd think Carolina's going to win this game tonight. Okay.
I do. I think their house will be packed down up there and, you know, so...
And the last game, we had been talking about how much of a defensive series, and then all of a sudden, 6-4, 10 goals are scored.
They go crazy.
Do you think that Carolina will keep that same goalie that they had in the goals in goal that gave up the 6 goals, or do you think they may try somebody else?
No, I would stay with him. I don't think all those goals could be placed on his back. Okay. You know, there was some times where Carolina's defense wasn't there where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So, and then tonight also you're going to be flipping back and forth because you have the Razor at home with once again the best record in baseball.
Amazing. It's just amazing. We have got it so good
It's like, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way, we have the Super Bowl champions here too. Oh, by the way.
We're getting spoiled.
I mean...
We are.
You think some of those cities up north are really jealous?
The good old days when we used to throw things at the TV because we'd get interceptions or, you know.
And by the way, what is a almost tropical area doing being the best hockey team in the country? What's going on with Canada? Why aren't they? When was the last time they won a Stanley Cup?
Nobody wants to live there. I think that's a big part. Florida's everybody's coming here. I mean, everybody, you've got people from California, people from New York.
Do we have any room to take all these people in?
We'll have to build a mother-in-law suite or something.
Yes.
You know, but they're coming down here. The athletes want to live here.
That's a very true statement.
Yeah.
Well, they live in California as well. No, not as much.
No, they're moving.
Well, you know what? You're right because we have a lower tax rate here.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. It is time for yesterday, Ed, we did the top 10 states with the highest percentage of people vaccinated. Just out of curiosity, do you remember what state was number one highest?
Oh,
I know. I shouldn't do that.
It was in the Northeast, wasn't it?
It is, yes.
Vermont?
Yes, yeah, very good. It was Vermont. Okay. Now, we're going to go to the top 10 states with the lowest. I want to see, Ed.
Probably in the South.
I'm not going to say.
If it holds true, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Now, Be vigilant so that you don't repeat what I already said.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Number 10. Oklahoma. Oklahoma, number of people vaccinated about 1.3 million, 34% of population. Number nine, Potato State, Idaho. Yes, indeed. Number of people fully vaccinated, 33%, but that's only 590,000
people. I wonder
people.
If it's so spread out that they just can't get the vaccine.
I think so. I don't know. Spread out is good.
Or they have a low infection rate.
You know, spread out helps lower and keep the infection rate low. There you go. Number eight. Georgia. Georgia. Percentage? 33%. How many is that? 3.5 million people. Number seven. Back out west, Utah. No, percentage 33. Mm. A little bit more than Georgia, but whatever I said. Oh, about 1 million plus vaccinated. Number six. Tennessee. Let me just look here. Am I doing this right? Yeah, Tennessee. A number of people fully vaccinated, 2.1 million. Percentage of population, 32%. Okay. Number five. Wyoming. Lowest percentage of people in Wyoming is 32% are vaccinated. They're riding horses. They're not worried about shots. That's only about, did you know that that's only about 186,000 people, though?
Wow.
Number four. Louisiana, very low vaccination rate, 31.7%. That's about 1.5 million people. Number three, Arkansas. Well, here we go, Ed. See where we are right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Arkansas, about 31.6% are vaccinated. That's about 950,000 people. Number two. Next door to Arkansas is Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Alabama. Only 29% in Alabama are vaccinated. That's about 1.4 million. All right, Ed. You've been listening, right?
Yep.
What do you think is the lowest vaccinated state?
Let's go with South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yeah. All right. I think that's a very good... guess, but it's not correct. Mississippi. Mississippi is the very lowest. 27.5% of their people have been vaccinated.
Well, I remember when it first came out that there were a lot of people complaining that there's so many rural areas there that they couldn't get to the
That's
vaccine.
That's part of it. And
they
it's
couldn't
a poor
get a
state.
Ride to the vaccine. And being a poor state.
It is a poor
state.
Yeah,
they couldn't get to.
Yes, and that's part of it, I think. And Alabama and Arkansas are likewise.
Here's the thing I'm worried about, and I want to give you the latest numbers real quickly here.
Okay.
For the COVID, usually we get a daily update of the number of deaths. Now, here's a telltale sign things are going down. Now, this is for 2-day total, not a 1-day, for the nation, 15,496 new cases, 324 deaths. Since June 4th, so this is 4 days now, for Florida, 1,878 new cases, 52 deaths. So you can see now it's really starting to
spread down. That's a good number,
down.
Yes, it really is dropping. Yeah. It's amazing. We are coming back. There's no doubt about it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, freedom works.
Now I hate to need you to love me, let's police don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love won't tumble me down. You.